Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Harry Palmer opens the next chapter of Office Wife.
As I suppose you're almost bound to have read in the papers by this, poor little Millie Moffat was run over and killed in the park on Wednesday. I was there. It shook me up, I can tell you. But it wasn't my fault. I can't be blamed if Millie went almost off her head and jumped out of my car when I told her I wouldn't marry her, can I? And anyway, it's too late to worry over the poor kid now. She's gone, and that's that. But it was lucky for me. How lucky, I can hardly realize. Millie was just about to spill the beans to Marcia and her uncle, Tressida Bendigo, but she left it too late. So, well, best thing I can do is forget about her. And that wasn't my only close shave. I thought I had Stella Bronson on my side. But I've never been so wrong about anything. And as a result, I have to explain to Marcia how Millie Moffat happened to be with me when she was killed. I have to be careful here. I think we can manage it.
I'm sorry, Harry, but I simply can't get Millie Moffat out of my head.
But you scarcely knew the girl.
Well, I'm not grieving. Oh, I know it's not very nice when people you know get run over, but... Well, Stella Bronson that night. She must have had something definite. She wanted us all together so Millie could tell us something.
Stella Bronson. I tell you, Marcia, that woman will drive you crazy if you don't get her out of your mind.
But then Millie was killed. At just the right moment.
Right moment, Marcia?
What were you doing with her the day she was run over?
Oh, darling, I've told you again and again... I simply drove her to the park and we stopped for a few minutes.
But why? Oh, I'm sorry if I sound suspicious, Harry, but after being diddled so completely by Jeff, I can't bear the thought of being taken in a second time.
Oh, you should know me better than that, Marcia. I couldn't lie to you. And as for poor little Millie, well, when you married Jeff Pilgrim, I did see a certain amount of her. But she took it a lot more seriously than I did, and so that last Wednesday, when I tried to tell her that we were definitely finished... She flew into a terrific rage and jumped out of the car.
Straight in front of the taxi cab.
Well, can't you imagine how rotten I feel about the poor kid? Don't make it any worse for me, Marcia. Don't get any silly ideas.
Oh, but if only I could work out what it was Millie had to tell us. About you, Harry. Stella said it was about you.
Now listen, Marcia. Stella Bronson's a clever girl. She knows her only hope of keeping your husband out of jail is by pinning the swindle on someone else. And who'd make a better clay pigeon than me?
Oh, that's not reasonable. How could she pin it on you?
I don't know, but I'm worried. Stella had something up her sleeve, wanted to get us all together with Millie. Oh, and do you know something else? I wasn't going to tell you, but when you rang my flat the other night, Stella was there too.
At your place?
Yes. I didn't realize till after you'd rung, but Stella was there to plant something in my desk.
Oh, Harry, really?
All right, ask her. She'll tell you she was there to... find something.
I don't know what to think, truly, I don't.
Oh, shove the whole rotten business clean out of your head, darling. You'll go grey if you let it get you down properly. You do believe what I've said, don't you?
I suppose so.
Well, I wish you sounded a little more definite about it.
Harry, I'm going to see Stella. Just once, for the last time.
What on earth for?
I'm going to ask her what she was doing in your flat... And if she said she was there to find something, well...
Well, what, Marcia?
I'll believe you.
Mr. Puller, I simply can't do another thing today. I've fixed Skinner and Company, so can I go home early, please?
What's worrying you, Stella?
You know what's worrying me.
Yes, I guess I do at that. You're on pins and needles waiting for Jeff Pilgrim's trial.
We've tried 3 or 4 schemes to pin the whole affair on Harry Palmer. We just haven't been able to do a thing. It's maddening. You said yourself you didn't think Jeff was guilty, and yet you can sit there and...
Just because I say maybe Jeff isn't a swindler, that doesn't mean Palmer is. The chap will get a fair trial, won't he?
You could put a stop to that trial.
Me? Huh. My hands are tied.
They're not. If you went to Mr. Bendigo and put all the pressure you could on him, the whole prosecution might be called off.
That's out of the question.
Why should it be, if you don't really believe Pilgrim's a thief?
Pilgrim means nothing to me, Miss Bronson. I'm not getting down on my knees to Tressida Bendigo to save his hide or anyone else.
Look, Mr. Puller, the whole case against Jeff rests on the letter of authority. There was a letter.
But there isn't now.
You could write one.
What? You're suggesting that I... Well, you better run along, I think. Great Scott, girl, what are you thinking of? Go on, clear out of here. Let's hope you can talk a bit more sense tomorrow morning.
Very well, Mr. Puller. I was only giving you a chance, Benny. If you won't write that letter, well, you'll just have to do the other thing, that's all. Because there's going to be one, and how there's going to be one.
Hello, Stella. They told me it'd be all right to wait in your office for you. Hope you don't object.
What do you want?
It won't take a minute. You were at Harry's flat the other night when I rang, weren't you?
That's right. Do you mind?
I don't care where you go. But I'd like to know what you were there for.
I was there, Marcia, because Harry stole some Puller Corporation notepaper from my office, on this very desk. He forged a letter of authority on it and then destroyed it. Jeff's going to prison on the strength of that letter. And I tried to go through Palmer's flat to see if I could find... In heaven's name, Marcia, what's so funny?
It all adds up so beautifully, that's all. Harry said your only hope was to pin the swindle on him.
Pin it on him? Oh, how can you be such an idiot? Marcia, how can you be such an unforgivable moron?
Oh, really, Stella, save your breath. I know you're capable of putting on the most consummate acts, but do you really think you can still fool me?
No, of course, no one could fool you, could they? You're so frightfully shrewd, so completely satisfied with yourself. Look, you can stay here all night if you want to, but I'm going. Jeff's seeing his lawyer, and I want to know what happened. Well, are you going to sit there?
No, thanks.
All right, after you. And when Jeff's been cleared and acquitted, I hope you'll think of what I've just said, Marcia. I hope you remember it as long as you live.
Pilgrim, I hate having to beat this in with a club. Proving you didn't go to Port Kensington the day the post office box was taken doesn't mean a thing. You could have taken it 50 ways without going near the place yourself.
What about the pay-in slip at the bank? The one by which someone paid their $2,000 into my account?
Same thing. Writing can be disguised. You could conceivably have paid it in yourself.
Confound it, Stubbs. I thought you were innocent till you were proved guilty beyond reasonable doubt.
Look, old man. I'm your advocate. I think you're an innocent man, or I wouldn't be defending you. But I'd be a hang of an advocate if I didn't tell you exactly where you stand.
And that's right on the spot.
Precisely. And what the devil are you going to say when you get up in court? The only defense I can hammer into the jury's head will have to be the sort of character you are. Why should you do this idiotic thing? You're intelligent, well-off, and successful. You've plenty of money without embezzling it. You're what we call colloquially a good bloke. With your future secure and a thoroughly satisfactory life in front of you, why would you suddenly turn round and throw it into the ash can? Do you get the idea?
I'd rather we could refute some of the evidence.
That's the crux of the matter, Pilgrim. We can't. The logical case, the step-by-step case they'll be able to make out against you, well, that's watertight. We just have to raise doubts in the jury's mind. We have to make them say, hang the evidence, this chap Pilgrim wouldn't have been such a thundering ass.
What will the prosecution say to knock down your defense?
Do you want it straight from the shoulder?
Yes, definitely.
Are you going to point to this Bronson girl?
Good Lord, not that.
Sorry, old man, I happen to know they're going to subpoena her. Shove her on the stand.
All right, we're back where we started. What are my chances?
About 50-1.
Against?
Against.
What the devil shall I do?
Plead guilty. It's your best bet. If you can make restitution of the other £1,800, I think I can get you off on a bond.
I thought you said I was innocent, Stubbs, or you wouldn't be defending.
I'm a barrister, Mr. Pilgrim. My clients are always innocent.
But you want me to plead guilty.
I know my criminal courts.
Get this into your head and get it in well. I will not plead guilty.
In that case, I can only do my best. It's up to you, old man, but... Well, 50-1's a pretty long shot. Longer than I'd like to take on 2 or 3 years in the cells. You won't change your mind?
No. I will not change my mind. Ever. What am I going to do, Stella, when even my own lawyer thinks I'm a thief and says I haven't a chance?
You're going to keep a cool head and listen to me. How long have you to go?
Just under a week. I'll have to take another crack at Palmer. I'll have to...
You'll do nothing of the kind. Now get your thinking cap on. What's the most important thing against you?
That letter of Puller's, of course. If I had that...
Right. I'm in Puller's office. I'm taking him things to sign every day.
Well, so what?
What are they going to say when you stand up in court and wave a letter of authority at them?
Talk sense, Stella. We have no letter.
But we're going to have. And this time, Jeff, this time it's not going to be a forgery. Here's what we do.
I don't know if I can afford to let Stella do this. If it comes off, all well and good. And if it doesn't, Benny Puller can be hard. She might just be changing places with me. Or would she? Hanged if I know. Something tells me Stella still has a card up her sleeve where old Ben is concerned. Why not risk it?
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.